death they call. They are in again with a good ball. Ramsey changing the pace. Sanchez, 3-0. Liverpool in deep trouble. Arsenal on the rampage. It has a lovely touch. It has Giovinco on his way. Sebastian Giovinco. It's 2-2. Oh, it was splendid. Top draw, Sebastian Giovinco.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your co-host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe on the phone with us, and we're going to be speaking to another member of the Canadian men's national team who are out in Florida right now doing some training. This is our second of our three-part interview series with some of the guys that are at the Canadian men's national team training camp down in Bradenton, Florida. Tonight we have Dane St. Clair, former Maryland Terrapin and Vaughan Soccer Club alumni. He's with us, joining us from Florida, so we'll be talking to him about his journey throughout the youth ranks and his journey to becoming a pro. So stay tuned for that. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com. You can subscribe to us on Twitter, the @footballweeklypod, all one word. You can subscribe to us on Instagram, football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to download all our episodes. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We are on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. We're on Audible, Google Podcasts. We're on every platform you use to download podcasts. So guys, without any further ado, let's get into this. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this.
Lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, you beauty! What a head, son! What a head!
Hi, I'm Dane St. Clair from Minnesota United and the Canadian men's national team, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
So, Joe, this week, another guy we've spoken about numerous times on this show.
I wish we could roll tape, you know, Reg? And we talked about this guy, like all of our guys, way back. When, with all due respect to them, no one was talking about them. You know, we knew they had star power. And today, I'm really excited because I always kind of knew this guy had star power.
Joe, I think one of these COVID-filled months, it seems like. Well, it doesn't seem like it is COVID-filled months. I'm going to go back and run tape, and I'm going to make a whole show on all the guys we said look out for and do a look where they are now type of show. But that's for another day. So, again, if you listen to last week's episode, we had Alistair Johnston on, and tonight is no different. A player that's very, very, that Joe is very, very, very familiar with.
Yeah, this guy is, you know, we say it a lot. I think, you know, when you say, this kid had something, right, Reg? We say about it factor.
Right.
This kid, young man, oozes the it factor. And I think anybody who's had a chance to work with him could say that. It's actually a pretty long time coming, but good things come to those who wait. Mm-hmm. We've waited, you're waiting, and you're going to hear a great young man talk. This young man has got star power, like we said. He's got a long list of achievements. If I list them all, we'll be here for a long time, but I'm gonna try. This kid won League One Ontario as a teenager. You know, the first cup final games was fantastic in net there. Moved on. So he's part of the way back when, you know, with Ajax, got to give him love too. Honed his skills and was part of our high performance program, our elite program with our 97s with guys like Kamal Miller, Deion Harris, and so on. Eddie Lay, part of the club, part of the group later, right? Manuel Zambasis. But this young guy was the guy between the pipes in the posts. And then he went on and he made his way on to the big time in the NCAA. No bigger than Maryland. He's, you know, a Maryland Terrapin. Bro. And all he does there, hey, you got to give this guy love.
Yeah, I guess.
And all he does there is he wins the job and ho-hum, goes on a streak at the highest level in collegiate Division I soccer and wins a national championship. Unbelievable. Then gets drafted for Minnesota United, numerous youth national team camps, and finally, well-deserved Canadian senior men's national call-up, currently now in Florida, none other than Dane St. Clair. Eh? Some love, Dane? Come on, man.
Thanks for that. No, pleasure to be here.
I mean, that's a lengthy list of accomplishments.
Oh, I'm out of breath, man. Jeez. but those are, yeah, that's Dane. And you know, Dane, we're happy to have you. And Like I said, this is a long time coming. And we've always said, me and Reggie have said, I said, Reg, watch this kid, watch this kid. And then Reggie was following too. And, you know, we just saw it. And we said, you know what, this has got to be coming soon. So, Dane, we're happy. And we're happy that you're talking to us from the Canadian men's national team camp in at IMG, I believe, in Florida. So we're happy to have you, my man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having us. And like you said, a long time coming, been a fan of the show. So nice to finally come on and enjoy and experience it myself as well.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you. And Reggie, he's got big shoes to fill. Now you're going to get – now this will get Dane going. Ali came on here, Dane, right, and he lit it up, man. That's right. I ain't going to lie to you. He lit it up. So you got some shoes to fill, man. Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. I think you can
Ali doesn't have the same accolade, so.
Ooh, wow.
There it is.
Like it.
Let's go.
I like it. I like it. Hey, even though you're a Terrapin, and I know Carm's a Terrapin as well, I mean, hopefully this interview goes a little bit better, but, you know.
Goalkeeper you.
That's it. That's it. So, Dane, we usually start off asking players that come on our show. There always has to be a time where you fell in love with the game of football, whether it be a game you saw, a player that you saw, a pair of shoes you saw that said, you know what, I love this game. So what point in your life did you absolutely fall in love with football and say to yourself, this is what I want
to
do?
It's hard to pinpoint an exact moment because from a young age, I didn't need many toys. I just wanted the newest soccer ball.
Yeah.
I didn't have a room full of toys. I just had a room full of soccer balls. I remember as a kid, my parents would tell me sometimes like I'd get a new ball and I'd sleep with it at night. But like from as young as I can remember, I was playing soccer. I like to say I started playing. People ask me when I said I've been playing soccer since I could walk. Even I remember being at my grandma's and juggling a balloon because I couldn't juggle a soccer ball yet. So I was juggling a balloon at that time.
That's love. That's love. And like myself, Joe is.
Oh, here we go.
Joe has told me, like myself.
Yes.
You are.
Well, listen. Go ahead, Reggie. I'm sorry.
What were you gonna say?
I'm an honor because, listen, okay, let's get this straight. Dane, so yes, Dane's a gunner,
yes.
And Reggie's a gunner. And you guys all know, well, guys listening, I'm an AC Milan fan, but I always thought, I said, you know what? I really like the way Arsenal played. That was me, Dane, when I was younger. And I said, you know what? I like the way these guys play because at that time, EPL wasn't what you watch now, where you're looking at ballers all over the park.
Exactly.
You know, and I saw this Arsenal team, they knock ball and they play. And so I'm always partial to the Gunners, right? So that's why
people
say that. So, right? Well, Reggie, you're a big dude. So yeah, if I'm not, I'm in trouble. So, yeah. So, Dane, the love for your Gunners, where did that come from? And
I think just from, like I said, a young age again, I remember I only knew three channels, like the cartoons, the soccer channel, and the Food Network. And those were the only three channels I knew. So I remember waking up every weekend, and, of course, that's when the Prem was on.
Yeah.
So then just Arsenal, of course, was very dominant back then when I was growing up. So I'm still at a top club now. So I remember just watching them and kind of like you said, just the way that they played, I kind of fell in love with. And then from there, just kind of wanted to play soccer in a similar fashion.
So was it Henri? It had to be Henri then, your era then, no?
Yeah, Henri, the Invincibles when I was really young.
Yeah, for sure.
So
how about this then? That's going to be pretty cool. I mean, Dane, you've met a lot of guys. Have you met Henri? I mean, you're a pro. Man.
I haven't met Henri.
Yeah, long. Pretty cool this year if you meet him, eh? When against Kamal, that'd be pretty cool too. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, so that's pretty amazing, and that just tells you the full circle thing. We talk about on this show, and all kidding aside, we pride ourselves on talking about the youth, the guys coming up, and opportunities. You know, stuff that maybe me and Reggie, we knew some guys, but maybe we wish all of us could have had, and so on. You guys got to have the talent. You got to have the drive, and you just talked about that. That's pretty amazing, when we talk about, you're suiting up, you're playing with your mates, guys that you grew up with, we're going to have Kamal on soon too, and then, to be playing and being coaching against or, playing against and your coach is a guy you grew up watching on TV and it was your hero. That's got to be surreal. They say, man, I'm here. Like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's kind of full circle how life works. I mean, from even I look at last year, I remember watching Vito play for Arsenal and then to be teammates with him. And I really was able to learn a lot from him two seasons ago. And I think it only helped with my confidence and helped my game grow as well. Just seeing someone from watching them on TV to seeing them every day and seeing how he is as a pro and how nice of a guy he is off the field as well.
That's pretty amazing. That's kind of like invaluable. right? You learn from him. And again, Ali was talking about, you know, not just being satisfied, always looking for a challenge. No greater challenge for you. I mean, we're going to kind of go back and forth. But yes, you were part of, you talk about learning from older guys. I remember Dane sitting in that seat at BMO, and it was the first league year of League One. And there you are. You must have been, what, 16, Dane? 17 years old. Yeah. You and Kamal starting in that game, and you had, you know, Joe DiChiara, Joe D, you know, played pro, you know, Emery Welshman, who Kamal was marking, you know, older guys would go on and play and stuff. And there you are. I remember watching going, I was texting Carm, Sacco, and Pat was coaching. Obviously, I'm going, this is, Dane does not look, he does not look like a kid out there. He looks, this is his box, his moment. That was just, I don't know, you looked so comfortable. And as a keeper, and we always say you guys are nuts, but you were like, you were ready early, Dane. How, what do you attribute? I always thought that you always looked, the moment was never too big for you is what I'm saying. What do you attribute that to, Dane?
I think kind of growing up, just playing with older guys, you know what I mean? Dreaming big too, you know what I mean? I remember after my dad's Sunday league, just shooting on the net and back when I was playing in the outfield and imagining that there was the stands were full and you know what I mean? And I was scoring that last minute goal or anything and I would be celebrating crazy and stuff like that. Yeah. But really, I was just 7 years old, just kicking the ball, you know what I mean? So
incredible.
I think I always dreamed big, and I think a lot of preparation goes into it as well, because in my position, you need to have the calmness as well to allow the team to fit in. So I think the bigger the moment and the more the pressure, I like to thrive in that environment.
Yeah, that's a good point. Reggie is a center back by nature, and I'm looking at that, and I always say, you know, I've had a nice, I call it such a pleasure to actually work with guys like Dane, Kamal. It was Dayon and list goes on, Emmanuel Zimbassas, that 97 group that Pat let me work with. And I used to say, you know, and it carries with me. It doesn't matter, and Carmi say this too as well as Pat, if you're a center back, a goalkeeper, it doesn't matter if you're the youngest guy in the field, just by the very nature of that position. And you guys can speak to this. You got to be a leader, right? So I think just by the very nature of you being there, it doesn't matter how young you are. You got to lead. They're looking at you. You see everything, right? So it was always star quality with Dane. I'm not surprised. So can I tell my story now, Reg? I've been talking about it. It's one of these things I'm leading up to. You guys might even think it's that great, but I do. So Dane, there's many. But Dane was part of the provincial program here in Ontario way back when he was about, I guess, 14 or 15. It might have been 14, Dane.
14 to 16, so right. In those years.
Yeah, so it was one of the early days. And I had Emmanuel Zimbassas, who we've had on this show, Canadian Youth International too, played in CPL, hoping to get him back playing pro where he belongs soon one day too. And his dad, great guy, a legend in the local soccer ranks back in the day, Kazi Zimbassas, he said to me, so how's Emmanuel doing at provincial? How's it going? How do those 97s look? I was coaching 96s at the time. He said, listen to me. You know, very serious guy. Dane knows him too. Listen to me. There's a keeper there. Third keeper, he's the best keeper around. So, wow, Cause, kid's third keeper though, man. He's like not even the backup. Trust me, that kid, he's fantastic. Because that kid's going to be Canada's goalie one day.
Wow.
And here we are.
That's amazing.
And I remember that comment, Reggie. I remember that conversation. Dane, I remember Cause saying that to me. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even met Dane yet. We hadn't even come to Vaughan yet. And that, because that's where I was united with Dane. And that's, so we talk about the Football Weekly podcast giving some early love. That's some real OG early love from Kazi Zimbassas, Emmanuel Zimbassas' dad saying, and very serious, listen to me, that is going to be Canada's goalkeeper. And you were 13 or 14 years old, Dane. So, man, what's my moral of the story? Go talk to Kaz. Maybe he knows something we don't know about life.
So, diamond eye.
Pretty amazing. Oh, man. So, sure. Reggie, then I got my other one. So, Dane Sinclair, we fast forward, and Dane played for Ajax before he came to Vaughan and so on. So Dane comes over, and I was really lucky. It was such an amazing time coaching these guys. Everybody, no one really wanted to play for me because they wanted to play for League One, right? So I was like the U17 under 21 coach. Nobody wanted to be with me, right? So when you got the list and you're like, oh, okay, I got to play with Joe, right? And Dane comes to play. And we got like, I don't know, 12 guys because Patrice has organized 17 practices in 3 days and 18 games. And Dane knows what I'm talking about. And it's like, yo, man.
Four showcases in 1 weekend.
Four showcases in 1 weekend. There you
true
go.
True story.
I'm like, it's absolutely the truth. Isn't that, Dane? Get in the car, go to the next game. So I'm like, yo, Pat, I need more guys. Nah, you good, man. You got 12. I go, 12. I have 12. Yeah. Dane can play out. Because Dane was having to play. Dane was going to play the next day, I believe, in League One or something else. I'm like, Dane? Because, yeah, man. Now, those of you guys, and a lot of guys know Dane by watching him, Dane's got some great feet. I mean, Reggie, this kid, you've seen him. He can pass the ball. Like, it's smooth. I'm like, yeah, okay, but I can't play Dane. Yeah, man, just play him. Dane says to me, I could play up front. I go, yeah, okay, Dane, just wait. I put him in, and, well, cometh the hour, cometh the man. Oh, well, Dane bangs one in. So, I mean,
this is when no I was coming problem. Off a broken. I was coming off a broken wrist, so I was
that's cleared right.
to play, but I couldn't play a net.
Oh, yeah.
That's
okay.
right.
I see.
So Patrice is like, you're like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. You'll play some way. Like, don't worry, you'll get your touches.
Get your touches. That's it.
Because we had the injury bug too. Like, there was like six guys on our team that got injured at the same time. So that was part of the reason why we had 12 guys as well.
And Dane will tell you, he's not a bench guy. And he's on the bench. And I'm like, I got to get this guy in because he is right. He is seeing everything because Dane knows the game.
Right.
I'm like, I got to get him out of here because he's driving me crazy. In a good way, Dane. And, you know, there was at the famous Lamoureux.
Oh, wow.
Dane bangs one in. Yeah, so, hey. This is that's why Dane's like, yeah, Joe, you tell that story all the time. I love it, Dane. What do you want me to tell you, man?
Were you were you a striker before you went in the net?
No, I played center back before I played in net. Center back or holding mid.
Left foot, Reggie. What a foot, like ping city, man.
Okay. What made you get back into this in between the posts there?
So my dad played in net, so when on my first team in Pickering, our goalie played hockey as well.
See.
So, like, I would kind of train goalie and stuff like that. And, like, the weekends, like, you know, hockey's really busy. It's not kind of same similar season with soccer. So, it would have some crossover. So, whenever he wasn't there, like, I would go in nets. Like, start off, like, I'd play maybe a couple games for the year. But, like, mostly play out. And my coach was like, no, we can't put you in net. We're wasting your talent there. And then I actually made the regional or the district team. They came to watch us play because we missed the showcase for whatever reason. We had something like that. So, my coach... I played out the first half and then net the second half. And this was when I was playing a year older. So, like, they said you got called into the district team, but I wasn't sure for what position.
This is amazing.
Ended up, like, going to the district team. It was as a goalie. So I was playing on the district team and the regional team a year older was still playing my main position on my team was playing center back. And it kind of got to the point, like, right before, like, my last year regionals before provincials and the goalie coach, he's like, you guys, it's getting to the point where you need to pick one. If you want to be on the provincial team or like,
wow,
you have to pick a position. You know what I mean? And then obviously someone saw me something as a goalie instead of a center back or else they would have brought me in as a center back. I kind of stuck with goalie. Yeah.
Do you remember?
That's incredible. Know that story.
Do you remember the coach's name that put you in?
Yeah.
The
I
net?
Was going to ask
yeah,
you, Dane. Yeah.
Yeah. That put me in net. Well, my dad was my assistant coach. So that was part of the reason. Yeah.
Okay.
But I just wanted to be on the field as a kid. I remember, like, my parents would tell me stories, like, housing my first year, like, bawling my eyes out because they're subbing me off.
You put me
anywhere on the field, even to this day, as long as I'm on the field or even playing a support role, I'm happy. You know what I mean? I just want to be around the game.
That's great. I didn't know that thing. That's a nice nugget there. I like that, Reg. I like that. I like that stuff, man. These are
Jerry Pennant. I give a lot of credit to Jerry Pennant because he's the one that
kind of
made me make the decision.
Yes, let's go.
And I think he's the kind of the first real goalie coach that I had that really like pushed me and brought me to that next level, and kind of
awesome.
saw it in me too. So like you were saying, Kyle said I was the third string for provincial that year, and then each year I kind of just worked my way up and ended up starting in two and won two nationals with the provincial team.
Yeah, that's and like I said, Reg, it was like watching early days. Like now, like let's put this in perspective. Now, especially if you're coaching keepers, and Dane would talk about this more than anybody, it's playing out of the back and being able to play as a goalkeeper has never been more important. We watch it in the pros. We see it now in youth soccer. Well, at that time, and Dane will tell you, it wasn't exactly that. You know, so this is why even saying this, Dane was like, we never felt bad. We used to say coming out of the back, who'd take it out of the back? That group was a little special because our center back and our goalkeeper were two of the guys who wanted making the decisions.
Right.
And so it was just so – and now, obviously, you know, Dane had a lot of experience playing out. And I didn't know he had that much, but yeah, you could see because, like I said, it was
comfortable,
pretty amazing ball, right? To see. Oh, Reggie, silk, smooth. Like just, and again, we see that now, right? We've seen him play in the pros and the playoffs with Minnesota and a great season that he had, but it was great to see him in training, just to see him, you know, receive the ball, knock the ball. And like I said, Dane would jump in the many small-sided games that you want to talk about fierce, and Ali talked about the training. So we go to Vaughn. So, right? Then there's Dane laughing. I mean, you have to bring your A game in training. So you come and you play for Coach Patrice Geiser. I know who had a huge influence on, you know, the next stage in your career. But, you know, speak to that. Even like Ali talked about the training and who was there. Obviously, Alistair Johnston, Kamal Miller, you know, Deion Harris, guys that you're your boys and stuff. But there's so many more. What was it like with that being part of that program for your development?
I think it was really big. I mean, we all joke and say there was 40 guys on the field because we had three different teams.
Yeah.
Like, I remember we had, like Joe was saying, we had when I first came, we had an under-16 team, under-17 team, under-21 team, and a League One team.
It's crazy.
All coached by the same coaches. So like,
yeah.
And guys going up to each the different levels. I remember there were some weeks I played three games with three different teams.
Periodization at its best.
So I think just seeing it kind of felt like, you know, one of those professional academies. If you looked at like the League One as like the first team, or you know what I mean? Or the under-21s is just like the reserves or things like that. So like when I first came, it was like you want to be training with that top group. You know what I mean? Not that you had anything against the guys that you were playing with at your own age, but you always wanted to see that next level. Even I remember my first year, I didn't play every League One game. So I remember going to the games or sitting on the bench and just developing that experience as well and developing the relationship so that when I did get my opportunity that I was able to take it with open arms, because I think sometimes everyone wants to be that guy from day one, but there's a lot of steps that behind the scenes that go into it as well.
And this is what I think Pat deserves a lot of credit. We joke about Pat all the time, and Reggie's now part of our joke that we've had Pat on the show and stuff. But and you know he believed in Dane, and I think you believe in a lot of those guys. And it's about giving opportunities. And I remember the discussion that we had the two weeks leading up to that, you know, first League Cup of League One against Sigma. I mean, Sigma Vaughn, like what, you know,
we lost early in the season. I remember
that's right.
My first game, I was on the bench and we lost to them at Hershey like 4-0 or 5-0.
Look at the memory, eh, Reg?
Yeah. For
winners
sure.
Win, man. They got memories, man. And that's, look at that. This is a guy who just finished playing in the MLS playoffs. He's in the Canadian national team camp. And that's what it is, that hunger. He still remembers that stuff. So we go from that. And we're, again, Carr and Pat talking about, you know, who's going to be, you know, the goalkeeper in that. And, you know, unbelievably, my opinion was asked too. And I'm like, I'm biased. You know, I'm like, you know, I said, I don't know. I think, like, the question was, we knew Dane was good enough. But the question was the pressure thing. And I'm like, I laughed. I said, you get it. And they knew it too. And they made their decision, of course. But it was like, nah, the pressure was not even going to be close. And it was Kamal and Dane, young lads. And we had some other young guys on that pitch too, which is amazing. But, you know, they were protagonists and they were in it. And I just thought this was a precursor, if there was ever a precursor. So I'm happy I got to see that. I was in the stands and, man, were they good. So we move on, Dane. It gets – the moments get bigger. You know, you get recruited. I mean, this is – let's be honest here. Not a lot of guys ended up going to, you know, the upper echelons of collegiate soccer. We, you know, we were bringing some guys, we were getting some guys in places, but then, I mean, where the you guys ended up, and we'll talk about the other lads too, but Maryland comes knocking. How does that happen? And
yeah, I remember we were going to a lot of showcases and things like that, and of course the position I play is a little bit tough because I didn't want to go somewhere where I at least had a chance of playing, you know what I mean? A lot of these coaches are playing their juniors or seniors or whatever the situation may be. I remember Deion could have picked any school he wanted to in the States, based almost, because of course being an attacking player, you know what I mean, your coaches are more likely to pick those guys. And then me and Kamal were kind of, you know, kind of waiting for our opportunity and things like that. And then Maryland came calling, and I remember it was shortly after Penn State had fallen through a little bit, because I actually, the three of us, me, Kamal, and Deion, went on a visit there.
Yes, I remember.
And we were talking about it after, and then only Dejan ended up getting an offer. So we were kind of thinking like, okay, like me and Kamal were like, okay, like what's going to be our next plan? You know what I mean? We can't just put all our eggs in one basket or whatever the situation is. So I remember we went down to the Disney showcase.
Yes.
And that's when Maryland saw me. And I remember seeing the Penn State coach before the game. Or we were playing a team from Georgia. Either of our teams were supposed to win the group.
No.
And I remember seeing the Penn State coach, and I said, this is going to be one of the best games I ever play because I'm going to show them that they messed up not picking me.
Beautiful.
And then it happened to be that Maryland was there, and things kind of took off and kind of worked out perfect because that's when Zach Steffen decided to go pro. The spot opened up to at least to compete because they had another quality goalie there in Cody. But it was at least a spot to open up and to compete. And I went on a visit there, fell in love with the school, and got a good offer and decided that that was going to be my thing. And then playing Penn State every year was not bad either to show it in their face.
Less
either,
special, you know what I mean?
You remember the Penn State coach's name, right?
So do I. Actually, course, a good guy. Course. He was actually a good guy.
I'm sure. He's a good guy. There's nothing against him personally, but it was just
Yeah, of course.
But I'm sure he remembers your name for sure. That's for sure.
You know what's amazing about that is you know, Dane and that group and Kamal and Dayon, it really did pave the way for the others to come and for an Alistair Johnston to end up at Wake Forest. You know, of course, Dan Harris, you know, split time at Penn State and UConn, and, you know, Kamal Miller at Syracuse. I think that was so important that you guys were trailblazers in that sense, you know, and Pat would say, I'm sure Pat would say that too, you know, grinding it out all those years and, you know, the work that you guys put in, and nothing comes as an accident, right? Dane had to show, you know, we always talk about moments, and there's Dane, you had a couple of moments where, yes, there's a whole body of work. And for our young players listening, yeah, there's years that go into it. But it still comes down to moments sometimes. Yeah. And that moment that you had, a couple of those moments are what gives you these opportunities because of the hard work. So that was, I think that's amazing. So Dane goes.
And I remember, if I can chime in real quick. I got Maryland my rookie year, and we were competing, you know what I mean? First game there, played number one ranked UCLA. My first ever time in the stadium, 9,000 people there.
Wow.
And we beat them in overtime. I was on the bench that game. Beat them in overtime. Our goalie played really well. Boom, I play the next game, do okay. Sorry, we had two games before that on the road in like one of those like tournaments to start off the season.
Right.
I played against St. John's. And I did okay, you know what I mean? Then we played UCLA on the Friday, which was massive game. Beat them in overtime, and we played Akron after.
Oh, wow.
And this was the game that I was going to play. And I didn't have a good performance, to be honest. Yeah. We lost the game 3-2 or 3-1 or something like that, and I didn't have a good performance, and from that moment I didn't play the rest of the year. So as quick as these good performances can happen and open up a lot of doors, a bad performance can change the trajectory of things as well, especially in my position where only one guy's going to play,
and especially at a big time program or club, and you know, you're at Maryland, and there's an expectation to go under Coach Sasha Sarovsky to go to the College Cup every year, is there not, Dane?
For sure, yeah. Our goal every year there was win the Big Ten regular season, win the Big Ten tournament, and then go and win the national championship.
And you know, Dane, we follow, right? We follow every week, and we're watching. And like I said, my wife would laugh and say, is this another subscription you have? I go, yeah, I just don't want to scramble. I want to make sure I watch the games, you know? And that's what we did. We watched. And like, okay, and we feel like we would feel the performances for you guys, and especially for a goalkeeper, right? Mm-hmm. And right, Reg, and you're looking, and you're like, oh man, and then you know, there's times, and again, Carm is a very good friend of Sash, and you know, his expectations are very high, as Dane will tell you, and goalkeepers can drive you nuts, Dane. You know that because you drove us nuts, and goalkeepers are so different, right, Reggie?
Yeah,
they're different cats, man, and you know, they're great, but they're, you know, so. He stuck with it. And again, so Dane, you get another chance, you get back in. What was that moment where you had, you know, you get another opportunity and then you didn't let it go?
So that was my freshman year. Then my sophomore year, I was in with the under 20s to start the season. And our goalie from the year before had returned as well for his redshirt senior year. Yes. So I started the season away. I missed the first few games of the season because I was away at the national team. And then
yeah, I mean, it was a good experience for you to be playing at the camp, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, when I came back, I wasn't playing either. And then Sash came up to me in the middle of the season and was like, how do you feel about redshirting this year? And it was a tough pill to swallow because, yeah, of course, you want to play. You know what I mean? You want to play every game. You know what I mean? Like, even if I wasn't playing that, I was like, okay, the next one, maybe I'm going to play. Or, you know what I mean? You want to be available to the team. And obviously it was a decision that I decided to make because I thought it had my best interest in it
long term.
What was the point of playing in two or three games for the year that obviously weren't going to be the biggest games, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it was a more of a long-term decision, but it was a tough pill to swallow. And I remember talking to Patrice saying, Sash doesn't believe in me, like I want to transfer, go to a different school, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Patrice told me no, like stick it out, like Cody's leaving after this year. If next year doesn't go well, then okay, maybe we can think about that route. But now's not the time to be thinking about that. So then come my junior year, I kind of got the keys to the car a little bit. And I remember my last game was almost a year, two years ago almost. And I said, I'm not going to allow that to happen again.
And there's that and mental strength.
Did well my junior year. Personally, team did okay. We fell short of all of our goals. Didn't win the Big Ten regular season. Didn't win the Big Ten tournament. We won. Which one did we win? No, we didn't. Yeah, we didn't win anything. Didn't win anything that year. Lost in the second round to Albany and PKs, which is big disappointment for us.
Yeah,
that was back to back years because the year before that we had lost in the second round as well after having an undefeated season. I think that loss allowed my class, because my class coming in was 11 guys, number one recruited class in the country. And I remember from day one, Sash put the pressure on us. He said, if you guys don't win national championship, it's going to be like, you guys have the talent to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you guys shouldn't leave here and not winning a national championship. So I
no
think,
pressure, eh, Dane? but again, think, all kidding aside, you guys embraced it. So yeah, sorry.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at my senior year, some of the guys are still playing, but my junior year team are starting 11. 10 of us are pros.
Wow. Unbelievable. And you know, a couple our teammate in your back four, right?
Yeah, exactly. Currently. So but I think that going into that senior after that junior fall, my class kind of came together and said, like, okay, we're going to be like the leaders of this team, you know what I mean, going into our last year. Like, and I had another year of eligibility left too, like if I want to stay after, but I kind of went in with the mindset like, I had an okay season now. I'm going to have a great season again, and I'm going to leave with the rest of my class like I came in.
Well, ho-hum, Reggie. All Dane does. First of all, thank you, Dane. This is amazing, and this is invaluable information for our viewers, especially our young guys and girls listening. A couple things there, though, Dane. We're going to get to that magical season because it really was, that run.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people don't realize this. And when young, and Reggie, you can attest this too, playing at a high level too. When you were down in the States – Division One level, it's not just all roses. It's not just, oh, okay, I got it now, I'm good to go. There's Dane at the best college program in the country, you know, and you know, there's decisions to make. You know what? Coach doesn't believe me. I don't know. Maybe I got to, you know, look for a new home. And there's, you know, the calls at home. Family, I'm sure, Patrice. You know, there's a lot of these days that we don't always talk about that go into it. And there's a lot of, you know, moving parts. Dane, when I asked you earlier about, you know, what do you attribute that mental strength to and that drive, you got to admit, Reggie, this young man's family is top notch. Mm-hmm. So what you're listening to here is no surprise if you ever got to meet Dane's family. Big shout out to them. Great people. Amazing. Always been supportive. So Dane, the magical season that was your final year at Maryland. I mean, walk us through a bit of that. Like, that's just incredible.
This is another season. It didn't start out great.
Yeah, it's true.
We had the hardest schedule in the whole of college soccer that year. Our strength of schedule was the hardest in the whole country.
Wow.
We started off the season. We played Stanford. We played UCLA. We played all the Big Ten teams. We started off the season 0-2-2. Yep. 0 wins in our first 4 games, which if you're at Maryland, that is unheard of.
Right.
That is unheard of. But granted, we're playing the top teams, and we were having trouble scoring at the beginning of the season. And we kind of got together, and we were like my class got together with the younger guys, and we said, and we know you guys are coming in here because our freshman class, we were relying on them a bit, and they're some of our attacking players and we said, we know you guys are new here, but this is not the standard that we have here. You know what I'm saying? So everyone needs to kind of dive in deeper and we need to figure this out because this is not Maryland soccer. And I remember Sasha would always say, this is not Maryland soccer. You know what I mean? Like, we're the team that goes and kind of punches the other team in the mouth first. We're not the reactive team. We're going to go and attack them first. We would do well for a few games and then we'd have a dip. And then at the end, when it kind of became real to some, especially guys in my class, like, hey, these are our last few games, like, you know, wearing this jersey. And I was going in with the mindset, like, I'm leaving this year. Like, this is going to be my last year here too. From the time the season started, I wasn't even thinking about that red shirt year, to be honest.
Right, right.
We kind of went on a nice run in the Big Ten, leading up to the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
Big Ten tournament. We played Indiana in the semifinals. Super windy, super cold game. Lose to them in PKs in the semifinals.
Of the conference tournament, right?
Yeah. Of the conference tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
So Sasha's like, you know what? Like, because it's a loss in PKs, technically it counts as a draw when you do like the whole strength of schedule for like the right. NCAA tournament. So he's like, honestly, this isn't the worst thing. Indiana was, of course, a top team, ended up making the Final Four that year. So like it's not a loss on our schedule, on our thing. Like we're gonna make the tournament and we're gonna be okay.
Right.
And I'd say
and then we played NC State our first game. This was the round that we'd lost 2 years prior, two times in a row.
So a bit of a mental block too, right?
And we weren't ranked the whole year. This for the first time ever. Like yeah. We were normally a top 10 team. We weren't ranked the whole year. So we said, okay, like whatever. We weren't ranked in the NCAA tournament, played the first round, play NC State, we win 2-0. Now we got to go on the road to Duke, ACC school. Of course, ACC is probably one of the best conferences. And especially Maryland used to be in the ACC.
Right.
That's right.
Maryland yep. and Duke have a massive rivalry.
Yes.
Maryland and Duke, massive rivalry. So leading up to that game, we knew a lot of the alumni, this is a big game for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
We didn't really get to live that experience of the rivalry because we're in the Big Ten. So this is a big rivalry game, and going on the road is never easy. You know what I mean? Had a great performance. I remember one of our freshmen, one of the guys I kind of took under my wing, who William Hervé. I remember at the beginning of the season, he was getting really frustrated because he wasn't starting, and I told him, your time will come kind of thing, and scored a bicycle that game just to kind of start things off after
That's
starting.
Incredible.
Probably one of the best goals I've seen.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? Wow. Anyway, yeah, it was Reggie. I was like, wow. I'm sitting actually because I had it plugged it into my TV, and this is where I was sitting. I was watching. So it's funny you said that. Yeah, sorry, Dane, go on.
So he scores a bicycle. We end up winning that game 2-0 as well. And now
emphasis on the zero here, Reggie.
That's it, right?
It's going to be a common theme as a goalkeeper. Go on, Dane, because it was really a magical run. Like, I mean, anyway, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And then now we have to go to win that game, we have to go to Kentucky now. And Kentucky was having a really good year that year. But we're thinking in our head, we've been in these moments, you know what I mean? We're Maryland, we've been in these moments, like this is one of their biggest games that they'll ever play. Like they had a big college striker and we were looking at it like we shut this guy down, we're winning this game. We're one game away from the College Cup, like we're doing it, you know what I mean? That was one of their games where they had the most fans ever. I remember normally, Maryland sells out 8,000, 9,000 fans. You know what I mean? Like, it was normal for us to play in front of lots of fans. So, but to go away and have, I mean, 5,000 people or whatever, like, it was loud for sure. But I think it fueled a lot of us as well. We had some guys, you know what I mean, that we kind of live off of this stuff. So when they started yelling and going off or whatever, like, you guys are only firing us up even more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
We win 1-0. One of my best friends, Sebastian Elney, scores a goal. And then my other best friend almost scored an own goal on me that game. And a lot of people talk about this as the save of our run because
it happened so quick. Yes. Yeah, the reaction. And
it was just kind of like a cutback and then hits off my defender's toe and I'm going the other way, kind of get a hand to it, whatever.
But that's you, right? I've always said that, like, you know, I know it's goalkeepers and me and Reggie, we never will ever tell a goalkeeper what to do, right, Reg? Ever?
Never.
But but your reaction is, that's what killed me about that one. I was like, oh my God, that was just, you know, when you could tell a goalkeeper's locked in. And for me, Dane, you must have felt like, you know, I'm locked in. I'm not getting beat.
Yeah, I went into that game like, I'm not hearing these fans yell at me after I concede a goal here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not hearing it. And honestly, like, the save in the game I thought was a good save, but I didn't realize it until I looked back at it, you know, and really saw kind of how quickly things happened and what went into the save. But I remember thinking, like, we were talking, we're like, guys, we're one game away from a College Cup. And if we won that game, we were matching up with Indiana, who we had lost to the first time with 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
And then lost the second time in PKs. So, like, we kind of, like, that was, I'm not going to lie, that was in the back of my head. Of course, you're focusing on the game at hand, but that was in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And so we win that game. We're buzzing. And I mean, College Cup also this year is in at UC Santa Barbara. Not a bad place to go. You know what I mean?
Not a bad venue.
That's okay.
Yeah. Not bad.
So, and we win that game. And honestly, after we won that game, I said, I mean, we went into every game feeling that we were going to win it. But after we won that game, it really settled in. Like, we're going to win this whole thing. Like, I know we will win this whole thing because we're playing Indiana again. And I refuse to lose to the same team three times in 1 year.
And let's be honest, we've been around sport. Beating a team three times is
it's tough,
mm-hmm. right?
The fact that we even lost to them twice, you know what I mean? Like, that was our biggest, like, rival in the Big Ten.
In heartbreaking fashion, yeah. Right, right.
So we're going into that game, like, there is no chance we lose this game. Beat them 2-0. And then
Reggie,
comes the game
against
Akron.
This is on the nothing again. Go ahead, Dane.
The game comes against Akron. And going into that game, I could think about, like, kind of full circle again. My freshman year, when I stopped playing, this game was against Akron. Like, I had a bad performance against Akron, and, like, thinking, yeah, this is, like, I refuse. Like, this is my chance to avenge that.
And we had the Canadian angle here too, didn't we, Dane? Again, we started our conversation with the Von Sigma thing, and here it is in play in the NCAA, Reg, in a national championship game. Marcel Zajac, who was a guest on our show too. Right. And you know, played at Sigma, and here he had a great tournament himself.
And they had knocked out Syracuse early in the year. And there was some things going on there between, because a guy from Syracuse chancellor there or whatnot. So I'm thinking, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for Kamal. And on top of this, we're winning a national. Like, this is for a national.
Unbelievable.
This whole 4 years, like, was for this moment. You know what I mean? Like, it was for this moment. Like, this
we were nervous for you, Dane. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, I remember scrambling. I was telling guys how to find it on their IPTV. Thank you, Reggie. Mm-hmm. And you know, because I'm like, yeah, what's on this, man? It's on ESPN. Trust me. Don't worry. We're good. Like, you know. And it was.
Yeah.
We were nervous for you. Sorry. And then,
we
of
were
course,
thinking, because their game, we played the second game, so we're already thinking they have a little bit more recovery than us, and they blew out Michigan State as well, so they were resting guys come like 50th minute. But we're like, we do not care, we are winning. Like, I looked around in the locker room, and like, you could just feel, you know, you just feel it sometimes. Like, I get goosebumps talking about it right now, because
that's amazing.
We felt it, you know what I mean? Like, there was no way that, and our team was so close, I think, because we went through a lot of adversity. And
there's no way you thought
days.
You were going to lose, right? You don't want to be overconfident,
but you said
no chance. Yeah, amazing. And when you're like when you're playing behind, you know, or sorry, in front of a goalkeeper who's hot, and like you, and you know what I think of you, it's like, I don't know, you right, Reggie? You feel, you played center back, you feel like nothing's going to get by us today.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it wasn't only me though. I mean, I look at our back line was solid that entire tournament. I look at against Indiana, my right back clears the ball off the line. They're blocking shots. Like, you just felt
denied.
It. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it wasn't just, and it was about the whole team. Our front guys pressing. You know what I mean? Like, it was.
And the eyes are watching, right?
Exactly.
The bigger the games, right? This is Reggie. He's mentioning, you know, Michigan State, Indiana, Akron, soccer. Like, eyes are watching. Pro scouts are at all these games, right? They're there,
right?
You know, the draft is coming up. They see Dane on this amazing run. They knew, you know, this national team, youth national team player. This run was just made him. How many goals conceded in the NCAA tournament, Dane?
Zero.
I heard zero a lot.
Come on. I want to make this very clear. Not a lot of people know this about NCAA soccer. Of course, we have two. We've got the OG Reggie, and of course, the young man Dane. You know, there's unlimited changes. You know, it's a fast, you know, athletic, physical. Goals are easier direct. To come by. Direct mm-hmm. game, and to keep a clean sheet at that level to the whole tournament, is it not a shock to us then, Dane? That
I'm on the edge of my seat here. I didn't see the game. What was the score,
Dane?
The score. We ended up winning 1-0.
Sorry, Reggie.
Okay, all right.
1-0 on a PK.
Take it,
Reg.
You'll take it,
Reg. Reg, exactly. I don't know about you, but you know we watch college sports a lot, NCAA basketball for sure, mm-hmm. college soccer now because in the last few years, of course, 10 years and so on with these guys going there. Dane, I got to ask you, man, that trophy, how does that feel to find that NCAA national championship trophy? That must have felt like beyond a dream.
We talked about it as a senior class. We had a big senior class looking to go pro, and we said the only way we're going to do it this year, like, we got to do it together. Like,
incredible.
If I try to do this or you try to do that, like, we all try to do our own thing. It's not like we've seen it. We've lived that before. It's not going to work for us. Like,
wow.
If we all like buy in together and we do one thing, all of us will make it.
Yeah, that's the
five big, guys. Wow. Five guys got invited to the combine that year.
That's
four of us got drafted.
Wow, that's amazing.
Five, class. All five assigned pro.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that's pretty again, good scouting on the on Maryland's part too, right? Not bad.
They get top of the top, right?
That's nice.
Yeah, but I mean, hearing that final whistle blow.
Oh yeah.
I remember the ball was at half, and you, because it's countdown clock.
Yes, yes.
So you're hearing 3-2, and you know, like, the ball's at halfway. Like, we've already, like, we won.
Yeah,
it, you
it's
know
done.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is the game's done.
Oh,
and I mean, honestly, blacked out in that moment. Like, I couldn't really tell you. Somehow the trophy just ended up beside me. Like, I'm kissing the trophy. Yeah. Like, don't know how it got
that's
there.
That's what I like, mean. Like, I mean, that's that trophy, right, Reggie? It's an iconic college sports trophy. Like. Yeah. I just to see Dane have that, and Dane, I don't care what it sounds like. That was amazing. That was truly incredible. Just to be a tiny piece of just knowing you for that time and those guys, it was a great moment. And again, like, Kazi knew something, man. So it's pretty outstanding. Dane, you get drafted in the MLS Super Draft with.
Joe, hang on.
Oh, sorry, Reggie. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited.
Let me ask a question. Let me ask a question to mm-hmm. Dane here.
Uh-oh.
Dane, you play in the finals. This is hypothetical, obviously, because it's history. It happened. But if you lose in that final game, are you going back for your red shirt season?
Great question.
Honestly, I think I had a good enough season that I probably wouldn't have.
Okay.
It would have been tough because, of course, you get so close.
Right.
And to not do it, but I think I kind of started the journey with a lot of my best friends and guys I still talk to this day.
Right.
And those guys were leaving.
Right, right.
So I think it would, of course, I'm close with the other guys, but those were, I'm talking about guys I was roommates with for four years with, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it would have been tough to go back without them because it would have been a different experience.
Well,
and honestly, I felt ready, and no matter how that game went, I felt ready and I wanted another challenge, you know what I mean?
And the performances, I think, led up to that too, right? I mean, you said, you know, your stock was pretty high. Had a great tournament, you know, were some pretty good performances individually too along the way, right? That tournament run. So this the time was right then, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you get drafted on a pretty special day with you know, a lifelong soccer friend in Kamal Miller. Walk us through that day. Like, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, kind of even leading up to the combine and stuff like that, just doing all the interviews and just seeing him there too. Like,
yeah,
this is stuff we used to talk about when, because he's the one that he's the one that kind of was the connection between Vaughn and me. And he's the one that brought me over. And we had carpool in together to all their trainings. And like, these were the moments that we talked about, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So to actually be finally living it, not to feel like we made it or anything like that, but we made it that next step. You know, that was one step on this long journey for us. You know what I mean? So,
right. Yeah.
Especially to do it with my best friend is something that's invaluable and irreplaceable too. So, but that day, that day was probably the most nervous I've ever been in my life, to be honest. So
had you had an idea, Dane? Like, I mean, I remember asking Patty here and there, and I'm like, hey, man, you're going to go? We're going to go. And truth be told, Dane, I'm still mad at Pat, but we were supposed to go together. But anyway, all good, all good. But did you? We heard some rumblings, but did you have an idea that it was going to be where you ended up? Or like, was there other?
I knew there was a couple teams interested.
Right.
But honestly, it's not nothing set in stone because that team that's interested in you could trade away their draft pick or anything, or a team that was interested in you at a lower thing could trade up, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember sitting there, most nervous I've ever been, because not only are you going to a new team, like, your whole life is moving there.
Yeah.
And to be honest, in that moment, you don't have a say. You know what I mean? Whatever team takes you, that's where you're going. Like, that's just the reality of the draft process. So I remember sitting there just waiting. And these 5 minutes felt forever. And teams started taking timeouts. So that's an extra 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
And you're just waiting. You know what I mean? Okay, this. I remember I think I had a good interview with this team. Like, maybe they need a goalie. Maybe they might take me. They don't take me. Okay, boom. I don't think this team might take me, but who knows? Like, anything's possible. Maybe they trade away the pick. Someone else takes me, whatever.
Right.
So every pick, you're thinking, okay, this could be the one. This could be the one. This could be the one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I was fortunate enough that I didn't wait that long either. I got drafted seventh. You know what I mean? So I can only imagine.
Yeah.
For the guys that had to wait longer. But
pretty nervous.
It was the most nervous I've ever been in my life, for sure. Because in that moment, you have no control. To be honest, all the work has already been done. There's nothing that you can do to change that moment.
Literally waiting.
Yeah.
You're just waiting,
right,
for them to tell you this is what it is. And then I remember hearing my name called and kind of blacked out. Like, I did my speech on and whatever, and I blacked out. Like, I couldn't tell. Like, there's not much about the moment that I could go back and tell you without watching it.
Well, you spoke very, very wisely, young man. It was nice to hear you speak of not only your journey and who was involved and, you know, the love you have for Kamal and you guys for each other. It's pretty cool. It's pretty special. And again, I'm not going to say I had anything. I didn't. I was there along for a little bit of, like, a tiny, really big piece. I got to know these guys a little bit, Reg, and it was pretty cool to see them. It was really, really cool to see these guys do that and to be happy for each other. Genuinely, it was pretty cool.
The coaches are just as proud, right, Joe?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and again, Dane knows I'm not. I worked with Dane very, very little, and Kamal, Pat, and the other guys did a lot more. But it was nice to just be part of that. Right. You know, it was fun to be.
And in that moment, I did feel like it was for more than just me as well.
Right.
Yeah. And I felt the support from home and all those things. I remember even this year. I mean, we're playing Seattle in the West Coast.
Yes.
The game's on at 10 p.m. You know what I mean? People are in bed at those times. And I remember just the support, even though we lost the game, just people messaging me after. And I'm like, did not expect them to be watching this game. You know what I mean? Like, just the support. I mean, from day one, though, even Joe likes to say he underplays it. But, like, you did play a role in my development as well. So I do thank you for that.
Well, kind words, my man. You know what I think. So that's just, like I said, it was easy. You guys were, I said it to Alistair, you guys made training for coaches very easy, because easy and hard. And the hard part was you guys brought a standard, because you guys were winners and you wanted to be better. So it was nice to see that. Dane is, we said it, Reggie, we've been talking about this young man for a long time. I'm sitting in a place that looked totally different. You know, I'm in my basement doing this in my little home studio here. And this was not even done when we were talking about Dane, and that was some years ago. And the greatness has something. You're not done, young man. I fully, truly believe that. I know you're not done. You know, you're not done. And you're talking to us. We started this telling you you're at a national team camp. So you guys have a great run with Minnesota United. Dane, you had a great playoffs too. I mean, that was, you know, like, speak to that. Like, the team believed in you, the coaching staff. Like, that's got to be a good feeling too.
I think even to rewind it, I mean, how just to show the younger players how the world happened, like, the football world can change so quick. I was supposed to be out on loan the entire year at the USL with San Antonio. and kind of move down there because I needed to get the game time.
Right.
And that was something that Minnesota, and for my development as well, that we decided that was best for me to go on a season-long loan. So I was supposed to be in Minnesota. Like, I was looking at it as I'm going to go play my full season in San Antonio and then show them, you know what I mean, that I can play at this level. Right when I get down there, pandemic hits. I maybe trained 3 times. Everything shuts down. No one knows what's going on with the season, which was a tough time because you're trying to train a little bit. Everything's kind of closed. But like in my head too, I'm like, as it got longer, extended, then it's indefinite. We don't know how long. I'm like, if you're training hard right now, like the regular season would be, like, you're going to burn out too at the same time.
Yeah, good point.
So it's trying to balance, like, we don't, like, to try to train for the indefinite, you can't plan anything, you know what I mean? Like, if you talk to anyone that likes to plan ahead for things, like, they need to know a schedule. So for us, it was difficult, at least for myself as a player, to say, like, I want to do enough that I'm ready when whatever that day is too. But I know during the, like, I don't want to burn myself out too. So finding that balance was tough. And I appreciate San Antonio because they're making us do these Zoom workouts and things like that to make sure that we were staying in shape and not just doing nothing. You know what I mean? And then finally they did announce the season was coming back. I was able to play 5 games, which was nice to kind of get my feet wet and feel more comfortable, because when you're not playing games as a keeper, like, it's very hard to train how you would play with the positions and the angles, because realistically we're reactive in order to what the players are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Good point.
So it's very tough to train that. And then I got the call from our GM in Minnesota saying that Tyler Miller, who was our starter at the time, was getting season-ending surgery on his hips, and that I was going home. So I remember we had a trip to Oklahoma. We played against Oklahoma, OKC, and Tulsa, and drove back after that Tulsa game. Maybe, I don't remember how long. It was a 9-hour bus ride. It was a long bus ride through the night, like, got back 6 a.m., whatever. And I got the call from the GM at 10 a.m., 12 or whatever, saying, you're coming back to Minnesota either tonight or tomorrow morning. Like, start to pack up your stuff.
Nice call.
Which,
wow. Opportunity knock.
I get back to Minnesota. Unfortunately, I have to quarantine.
Yes.
Right.
Because I'm coming from a different league. So part of the MLS's protocols was, if you're out of market, you come back in. So I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, now Greg's playing. If he does well, like, it's going to be tough for me to break into the lineup.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to come back, like, the whole year. Like, this is the year I'm supposed to be playing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm going in saying, like, what can I do now in training to that when I'm out of this quarantine that I can break into this lineup? We went through a spell where we weren't winning games, not doing well defensively. And then they decided to give me a chance. And I kind of
ran with it
going into that first game. Yeah, I think.
You talk about challenges. Alistair talks about challenges too. And this is what, you know, Dane is so good to want to make sure that the young guys and people listening understand. It's every day is a new thing. And that's what Dane's saying, aren't you, Dane? Like, it's like, okay, you get called back. Then, okay, you know, this guy's in. I got a quarantine. Like, what happens? Nothing is a given is what we're saying, right? There's always the next thing, and it's you for can't sure. even relax, right? Is that's
for sure. And I think in this game as a player, like, there's a lot of things that are out of your control. You know what I mean? There's certain rules and things like that are out of your control, but there's only certain things that you can do to be able to stick with it. And like you said, make it tough on the coaches. You know what I mean? Make them look at you and say, damn, like, how are we not giving this guy an opportunity?
Can't you, or
like,
kid out, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, those kind of opportunities. So I think then once you get that even half opportunity or whatever, it's making sure that you don't just get your foot in the door, but you get your body in the door too, and you open and break down that door and that barrier or whatever it is. And that comes from all the preparation that you're doing leading up to that moment. It's not just about that moment.
Right.
And a lot of people will see it as that one moment, but you know inside what went into that moment as well.
Well said.
And yeah, as quickly as, luckily, like, I ascended and did well quickly, but as quick as you can go up, you can go down as well. And you have to keep that in the back of your mind, because they're trying to find someone that's better than you.
If, in this is the pros,
that's,
right?
That's,
yeah,
that's, I mean, that's what they're exactly.
Their job is to find someone that is better than you.
Exactly what they're trying to do.
I think I did well in the first couple of games, a little bit nervy, But I do appreciate that time in San Antonio, because that was five games I was able to get under my belt and kind of feel comfortable, get the comfort level and get the whatever butterflies or whatever rust off, whatever you want to say.
Right.
And then come into Minnesota kind of having already played some games, you know what I mean? Because like I said, that's the last piece that's the hardest to get. So I think I'm very grateful for that loan to San Antonio, because those few moments were those few games were able to help me in the long run. And some people may say, oh, like, you know what I mean? You went down a level or whatever. But I knew in the back of my head that that was something that I needed to do. And I was looking at a big picture, not just in that moment. You know what I mean? You
need to look down the road a little bit then, rather than where you're standing right now, right?
For sure. Exactly. And then kind of we were playing really well. I was doing well. I was keeping some. I got a clean sheet in my first game, which I don't think you can ask for anything more than that, and a win.
Yes.
And a win. So just kept moving on, and as each game went on, I felt more confident and more comfortable, and I kind of embraced it and looked at myself as the starter now. You know what I mean? I didn't say I'm the second string or I'm on loan or I should be on loan in the USL right now, but I was thinking like, This is my chance. You know what I mean? How often does it, the starter goes out for a full year, not even only, most times the year before our starter played every single game that season.
Yeah.
So like this was the opportunity to show that I can not only do it, but at this level as well.
There must have been like, I got to give credit, Dane, here to Minnesota, the organization, because they didn't give up on you and they knew that what your ability was, because, you know, setting up a loan, making sure that, you know, they knew what they had with you is what I think. Is that fair to say? Because they did not give up on you. They knew they saw your star quality. They knew, you know, what you're capable of, and setting up those opportunities for you. I think they deserve a bit of credit in that too.
Yeah, I think based on me supposed to being on loan, they probably thought I was maybe a year or two away from being in that a moment. But like you said, I mean, it would have been easy for them to just say, okay, come to training and don't worry about the games. But they said, for your development, the biggest thing now, like the next thing now, is going to be the games.
Right.
So setting up that loan was important and was a step that both I wanted and the club wanted.
I like how you mentioned that things move fast, especially in the pro game or in the game of football in general. You were behind the starter when you came in, and now the starter's behind you. So it changes just as fast for the good as for the bad. So I'm glad you mentioned that to everybody. So, I mean, you don't get down when things don't go your way. Just keep your head down and keep working hard and you'll get your opportunity. And once you get it, you don't let it go. So I think you're a testament to that as well.
For sure. I want to ask Dane a couple of fun things here.
Okay.
First of all, Dane, amazing. We talk about your performances. Reggie, he's up there, right? Like he's given Ali didn't run away with this. It's going to be close. We're going to have to decide after Kamal gets on here. So we'll get that. So you know what, Dane? I never
you
doubted
know,
you,
my
man. We're
too competitive for this, you know?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You think we're going to give scores here. It's going to be.
As soon as you say competition, that thing in my brain switches, you know?
And that's what I saw.
Even when you don't, it switches in my own head.
That's it. Yeah, I know you, Dane. That I know. I know that Dane loves competition. Let me tell you, and these guys, these winners, all these pros, yeah, for sure. So, you know, it started off slow in terms of, you know, when I said to him, hey, man, Alistair, then Dane, that switch came on. I even felt it. So that's good. Okay, so a couple things, Dane. First of all, what goalkeeper, or there's one or two that you look to, man, that guy's a guy that I really look to over the years, whether it be a pro guy, someone to play ahead of you. And then our last question, I think you really like. So was there a goalkeeper that you not try to emulate, but you looked up to and that you kind of, you know, looked to?
Yeah, it's funny because you kind of talked about that, the AC Milan team a little bit earlier. And I remember Dida in that with them. And I remember Casillas. Those were kind of the two guys. I mean, Dida, someone kind of that looked like me on a top team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
you got better Casillas, feet though, but yeah.
And then of course Casillas was arguably one of the best to ever do it, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then of course you talk about guys now like Neuer and Ederson and Alisson, just the way that they've changed the game and the model of what a goalkeeper is these days. And then I look at someone like Zach Steffen as well. I mean, he
Man
was
City.
At Maryland before me. He was in the MLS, you know what I mean? He's
Germany,
at Man City now, of course, playing well, doing well. So it's someone that I've developed a little bit of relationship with just based on us having a little bit of history with Maryland. Like, so I think he's someone that I like to follow because I feel like I know him a bit as well, and I want him to succeed because he's kind of helped create a path for me as well, and I'm very grateful for that.
Fantastic. Knowing your history. See, Reg, that's why we love these young guns. They respect the past. You're talking to a lifelong OG here with New York Knicks and stuff before the Raptors were around. So, Reggie, he respects the old school, man.
There's a lot of other guys at Maryland as well. I mean, other goalies as well that have gone to the pros as well. So, they definitely created that door as well.
Right.
That's amazing. And now, of course, I mean, Dane was fantastic. Of course, he puts in a performance. He gets, gets the clean sheet.
That's another one.
Of course, Dane, you got to tell me. I'm going to have Kamal Miller on here next. Okay, he's gonna end the trifecta of you guys, of Alistair, Dane Sinclair, Kamal Miller. Not too bad. What do you want me to ask Kamal? What do you want? Is it something that, try to think about this. Is there something you want me to ask Kamal and say, yo, Joe, you got to ask this guy about this time? And again, let's keep it PG.
Oh,
let's keep it PG. But is there something that you might want to ask me? Because I tell the story,
spent a lot of time together.
That's what I wanted. That's what I'm saying.
There's got to be something we could talk about.
So you say, ask him about this.
Ask him about the piece of equipment that he used to wear when he was younger.
Done. Because you know why, Mr. Sinclair? There's something I'm going to tell about a certain Vaughn showcase in your when you guys were the juniors of it, not the 96 one. I'm sorry, not when you guys were going into your your year where you're going to be, committing. So I'm gonna tell a great story about Kamal there too at Downsview Park. But okay, so that's what I'm gonna say, Reggie. We made note of that, right?
Yeah, we're gonna ask Kamal. I wrote that down.
Beautiful.
I can't wait to listen for that episode.
Oh, you're gonna see. Oh, just trust me, it is well worth the wait. Oh man. I got a day on one too, but we'll get day on this show too. We'll get day on Harris on here too, for sure. He'll tell us about his story too. But Dane, it was more than a pleasure to have you on, young man.
Definitely.
We've been watching you from afar. We are fans of you and your journey, and it's not over. I definitely know this is not over. This is just the beginning, and we look forward to following you.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. It was nice to finally be on it and not just listen to it. So I appreciate the guys you do and a lot of the work you guys do for the youth as well to show them that platform and kind of give them a little bit of a inside access. And like you guys said, talking about me from a young age, I really do appreciate that because in this world, the more people that talk about you, the higher your value goes as well. So
exactly.
I appreciate you guys for that. Putting a spotlight on the young players in Canada.
So that's what we try to do, right, Joe?
Got to try. It's easy with these young men. So, yeah, thank you, Dane. Thank you for that.
For sure it is. Well, Dane, we thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll have you on again during the season and we can check in with you while you're in Minnesota. Joe, another fantastic interview. Guys, thanks for listening. And as usual, we'll catch you next week.